Hello, this is Dean Gocher. I'm founder and director of the Institution for Authority Research. I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Then He's the one who directs your paths. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And this program's about those scriptures, explaining the very process that's anathema to them, the enemy. If you're a friend with the world, you're an enemy with God. And that process that's an enemy against God, actually, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 exposes that enemy. And that enemy practices a particular way of thinking. I call it diaprax. It's simply the dialectical process, which I will explain, is in Genesis 3, 1 through 6. And praxis, just the Greek word for practice. In other words, to practice or behave or to live a particular way of thinking. Now, the dialectic, as most people who take a class on the in philosophy, learn words like thesis, antithesis, synthesis, which are different stages of the dialectic. The dialectic cannot function in simply a thesis environment, because that simply means a position. And when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, God has a position, and He presented that position to Adam and Eve. But He presented them a choice. And in that choice, we now have antithesis. There is an opposing position. And so you can choose one or the other. It's an either or. If you obey me, you'll be blessed. If you disobey me, you'll be cursed. And it is in that garden experience that we find that Adam and Eve move in the direction of the antithesis. But they do it in such a way that they find that they can become like God. In fact, God said they will become, they have become like me, but they have not become God. Because God is spirit and man is flesh. And the sameness between flesh and spirit is the ability to evaluate the environment around us. But the difference, the contrast is, now I just mentioned the difference between the two ways of thinking. A traditional thesis way of thinking is contrast. Right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, hell. That's didactic. That's patriarch. That's deductive reasoning. In other words, you're given a premise that's, this is what to do that's right. You use syllogism or proper logic, and your outcome has to match the premise to be right. Now, the opposite of that, actually the synthesis of that, which is, this is sort of confusing, but it's not, it's antithesis, it's opposite. But the trickery of the dialectic, it's saying, well, we're not opposite, because all we've done, we're not countering God, all we've done is what we find in common with God. And what do we have in common with God that we can evaluate? And so focusing on common, which makes sense, wouldn't you want to be like God? But the difference is, we're flesh. The laws of the flesh is the foundation of the flesh. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so the trickery is, the mind can use the same process that God uses, which is to evaluate. Remember, He created the world and He said, it is good, it is good, it is good. And man can do the same thing. But all he's got to work from, if he's going to reject God's command, which means you don't have to evaluate. The only evaluation you will ever do is you take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, you weigh everything around you from God's standard, which means you always stay in thesis. You always stay in position. But because we have an antithesis, which is the flesh, an opposite of the spirit, a different from the spirit, when we evaluate from the flesh. Because we don't come with the spirit. We're not born into this world holy. We're born into this world in the flesh. And therein, that's the only foundation we have to evaluate from. And by doing that, if we can say, okay, we're going to be like God, we can evaluate, we are evaluating from the opposite, but the trickery is we think we're doing the same thing as God is, therefore we're like God. And that's deception. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. You're never deceived because somebody lied to you. You're deceived because you trusted him. Why? Cursed is the man who trusts in man. Why? Because it's the flesh. It's of the world. We're to take every thought, or take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ, which means we evaluate the world we're in from God's standard. And we see in the garden experience, when Satan came along, Eve already had the thou shalt not, but Satan created an environment, a situation, where she could share her opinion. Now, opinions are different than truth. Opinions are different than ideals. Opinion carries your feelings, how you feel, and your thoughts, which are tied to your feelings, what you think. They're sensuous-based. And so Satan created an environment where the sensuousness of Eve's life and the sensuousness of Adam's life became the foundation. The flesh became the foundation. Because the environment stimulates your nervous system, all your senses, touch, taste, sight, smell, sound, which then convey the information in the environment to the brain. And on the way, there are chemicals your body naturally produces, especially when it deals with pleasure and also with pain, but particularly pleasure, the dopamine, the serotonin, GABA, and others, that when this gets to the mind is designed to approach pleasure. And so it's automatically says to itself, you don't hear it, but it goes, wow, I like that. I want more. And so your mind then looks into the environment to get to be around or to have or to hold or to relate with whatever it is that produced the dopamine. See, the child who's playing with the toy and falls in love with the toy is not in love with the toy. He's in love with the sensation the toy produces. Touches the toy, it produces dopamine, gets to the mind, enjoys the pleasure, looks in the environment, what created the dopamine, what created the pleasure, I want to hang around with it. So he hangs around with the toy because the toy produces the dopamine. He's in love with pleasure. He's not in love with the toy. He's in love with the sensuousness of pleasure. And that's our flesh. That's the law of the flesh. And God put that in Adam and Eve. But there's a higher law. See, the lower law is of the flesh. Jesus said when he was tempted to turn a stone into bread for the sake of life, to stay alive, to keep the flesh alive, he said, man doesn't live by bread alone. So bread's good. See, pleasure is good. You need some dopamine in you. You need to enjoy life. You need to, you know, comb your hair and look in the mirror and say, wow, you know, that looks pretty good. Thank you, Lord, for giving me hair. Now, if you don't have hair, then find something else. Thank the Lord. Be thankful in all things. And that's, there's spirit in this, but also only with God. But there's definitely always, as long as we're in the flesh, dopamine. You got to have some. Don't want to hang around with you if you don't have any. You're depressing. If you're depressed, if you have this sensation of depression, it's you're not trusting the Lord, first of all, because if you trust in the Lord, what does the Lord give you? Joy unspeakable. So joy will actually have an effect upon you physically. Now, you know, you when you're going through pain, definitely the pain's going to predominate as far as the flesh is concerned, but you can have joy in the midst of that. Jesus endured, see, he endured, but he looked forward to the joy that lie ahead. He endured the suffering. He endured the pain. Enduring means you got to go through it. It's not a dopamine moment to go through pain. I tell people, it's not a dopamine moment to change diapers. It's, you know, and so we live in a life where we're not to be guided by the flesh. It's not enough just to have bread. Man lives by every word which proceedeth from the mouth of God. When Jesus is saying that, he's saying that to Eve in the garden. Your foundation is not your flesh, because if you make the flesh your foundation for evaluation, you're going the way of the world, and you're an enemy of God's. You're God's enemy. And so what happened in the garden was God gives Adam a thesis. And Adam, because he has flesh, has an antithesis. He has to keep that under control. And therein, when Eve goes by this forbidden tree, the environment stimulates the dopamine. That forbidden tree stimulated, as every other tree she encountered stimulated, dopamine. She couldn't undo that. That was natural. You wouldn't be tempted if you weren't drawn away by the lust of the flesh. There is a drawing. Because you walk in this body, your body, there is a drawing your body has to the creation. Until you die, you're going to have that drawing. It's not good that man be alone. God didn't create angels for Adam. He created a woman. Someone from the flesh, from his rib. And therein, human, carnal, see, hum of the earth relationship was produced. But Adam and Eve weren't just animals, because that's relationship. Notice God brought all the animals to Adam. He didn't find what he needed, because we're also spirit. And it is that relationship that God wants us to have, relationship, not the physical, temporal. Now, God's not against the physical, the temporal, but it must be subject to him. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth from the mouth of God. And what Satan did was to create an environment where Eve could shift, not shift really, they call it a shift, it's shiftiness. She could move from solid rock, thus saith the Lord, to opinion, I think. And she does that. She shares, for God has said, thou shalt not eat of it. Do you know that's a paraphrase? That is not what God said. And here's the kicker. Here's the manifestation of that opinion. Nor touch it. See, every time you're told you can't do something, you want to do. Why do you want to do it? Because the environment stimulates the dopamine, you like the dopamine, you like the pleasure, and therefore you want to go into the environment and get whatever it is that produces the dopamine. That's a want to. And when you're told you can't do that, you know, and you say, why? Because, you know, in dialogue is an opinion. If you can get the parent, if you can get God, if you can get anyone who is an authority, author, who authored the restraining language, into dialogue, they're equal with you. They literally have to abdicate the office of authority to dialogue. See, the ministers in church growth are all trained to dialogue. How do you feel? What do you think? They must abdicate the office of authority God gave them. They are not ministers of the Lord. Satan has ministers of righteousness. Wow, how can you tell the difference? The ministers of righteousness of God, that's a consuming fire. That's conviction. And it comes only from his word, his revealed word. The Holy Spirit works with God's word, not man's opinion. How can you tell the difference between the righteousness of God versus Satan's ministers of righteousness is that they will come and ask you for your opinion. Boy, that's a telltale. Well, how do you feel? What do you think? Not what do you know? See, my people are straight for lack of a way of thinking. Knowing. They are no longer knowers. They are thinkers and feelers. And their thinking, leaning to their own understanding, ties them directly to the environment. They are possessed. They were in love with the creation. They're in love with pleasure. And they're not lovers of God. Because if they were lovers of God, they would love his word, and they would preach and teach his word. Because that's all you can do with God's word. Because it's not by private interpretation. It is God-breathed. And when Eve was tempted, she should have quoted God's word. Instead, she shared her opinion of God's word, which was the flesh. Nor touch it. You're told you can't do something. That's a command, a thesis, a position. And the flesh then comes in because, again, the environment stimulates the pleasure. Somebody comes along and says, no, you can't have that. And you go, why? Get them into dialogue. And they refuse to go into dialogue. They say, because I said so. And according to psychology and sociology, that is the source of alienation. You are alienated from your own nature. See, the ability to be spontaneous, the ability to inquire into the environment for whatever it is that produced what was pleasurable to you, was cut off. You actually were prevented from being like God, to evaluate the environment for yourself. That sounds sort of narrow-minded, doesn't it? But Jesus said, what my Father commands, that's what I do. Then he says to you and me, he who does my Father's will in heaven is my brother, my sister, my mother. That's death. That'll kill the dialectic right there. That will kill those 10 spies. You say, you know, these guys say we look like grasshoppers and we're pretty small. You know, they're looking at the environment and going, this is going to be painful. Maybe God, you're wrong. You know, by our perception, our ability to evaluate, every man in the Word of God who gets trouble with God evaluates through their flesh. And they do not evaluate their flesh from the Word of God. They do not take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ, because the obedience of Christ was what my Father says, that's what I do. Thy will be done. Nevertheless, thy will be done. No matter how I feel or what I think. That's a believer. Do you realize in the Soviet system they didn't kill Christians? They killed believers. This is now a time in this nation, which used to be blessed because they had believers, now, and they were honored and respected and had influence and persuasion. Not influence, but persuasion. And actually, it would be influence, because the carnal lusts are guided by feelings, and they're fearful that if there are too many believers in the group, then they can't do what they want to do. See, and so they're cowards. You know, they love the darkness, but for a time when there's power around that's in light, then they sort of cower behind, like Satan. They're like wolves. You know, but what we see today, though, is the wolves in sheepskin. By the way, they're going to remove the sheepskin. They won't have to worry about hiding, because it is all now becoming fruition, where the believer, like in the Soviet system and Communist China, we're Communist China's most favored nation. Do you realize its whole foundation is the persecution? It has no other purpose. There is no other purpose for the dialectic than to persecute the believer. Satan came along and pulled Eve into the dialectical process. How do you feel? What do you think? So she could reject the authority of God's word. He's the author and he's authority. That's foolishness. See, that's death. But it seems there's a way that seemeth to be right, because through the evaluation of the flesh, looking in the environment, she now looks at the tree and there's nothing wrong with the tree. You have to understand this. There are times in your life you will look at a situation you were told you couldn't do that, and you looked at it, and through every faculty that you have, there was nothing wrong with you doing it. It didn't make sense. See, the environment stimulates through the senses to the mind, and the mind looks in the environment, and through evaluation, the mind says, it makes sense. What I want to do makes sense. See, and your feelings are definitely there. You're thinking about your feelings. You're thinking through your feelings. Your feelings, your senses are the foundation. That's why when today you share the truth as a believer to a Christian, they're going to say you're unreasonable. You're extreme. You've just gone too far. I was in a meeting once. Every time I took that group to the truth, to the word, I put the seed, the God's word, on the road. Here it is, planting the seed. There was a minister in there that always brought up antithesis. Always. He was a church growth minister. All church growth ministers will bring antithesis to form a synthesis. They cannot handle the truth. They are not in love with the word. I left that meeting. I turned to my wife and I said, you know what? That minister was a son of the devil. Nice guy. He would change your tires. Oh, he had a great church. And he said, oh, for Christmas, we had all the young people in our congregation. And you know, if I had reprimanded him in that meeting, and I did, I quoted scripture to him, boop, washed off of him like water on a duck's back. But you realize that the sad thing is, when you reprove somebody who's a minister today, a minister of Satan disguised as ministers of God, because they're not in love with the Word of God, because every time you share the Word of God, they counter it. They don't say it's wrong. They'll just say something like what I shared, use the example about abortion. That baby is not the mother's blood. That baby has its own blood. That if a woman has a growth on her arm, it's her blood that's going through that growth. But that baby in her, it's its own blood. And the mother's blood and the baby's blood in the placenta go side by side. And the nourishment that baby needs comes from the mother's blood. But the mother's blood does not go into the baby's blood. That would be death in many cases. It is not her body. And And this minister, this so-called man of God, his response was, well, it's just a parasite. And then he says, of course he was saying he didn't believe that, but it was an antithesis. It was stealing the authority, the truth of God's word, that life is in the blood, and God will hold this nation accountable because of the blood that has been spilt. You will be held accountable. You know, the Titanic went down, and everybody on it went down with it, folks. We're in the bowels of a sinking ship. Because this nation has rejected God, and it's the so-called men of God who have rejected it because they're ashamed of the word of God. They got to mingle it with the wisdom of the men. It's foolishness. Professing to be wise, they became a fool. And I saw that day a fool in front of me stealing every word of God from everybody that was in that room. In fact, they would have turned on me. Because he's such a nice guy. Because our nation, Christians, are trained to evaluate truth through their own evaluative ability, through the environment that's around them. And they do not evaluate the truth through God's word. Because they're not grounded in God's word. There were some friends of ours that said, you know, we have four daughters. Two of them we can talk to. Now, these were very traditional patriarchal parents. God-believing, God-fearing parents. They say, we can talk to our two younger daughters, they're all gone from the home, but the two older ones, we can't. The two older ones, we raised in the church. The two younger ones, we raised in the Word. And so when Eve shares in the garden, she's not sharing the Word of God. She is sharing her opinion of the Word of God. Christians are running to the bookstore, listen to everybody's opinion of the Word of God instead of the Word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart. And they, in fact, they're going to heresy documents. Any of the documents that are not translated from the Textus Receptus are heresy. They're Alexandrian origin. All of those were philosophical. All of those were tainted with a dialectical process. Doesn't take much to deceive people. Doesn't take much. You can take 98% of good food and put a little poison in it, call it rat poison. That's what it is. It's rat poison, 2% or less. It's poison in rat poison. When Jesus is coming back, he's coming back for a spotless bride. Spotless. No antithesis whatsoever. No deception. Paul even preached. He says, I didn't come with the wisdom of men. But these ministers out there that you share the word of God. And in fact, I was mentioning about this feelings. That we're guiding by feelings. And this so-called man of God, he goes, well, you've just gone too far. And every time I brought him to the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, he would go, you've just gone too far. Just tell that to God on the day of judgment. And you say, well, we've got to have some tolerance. God said, no tolerance. You just tell him, well, you know, God, I got my opinion about that. And see how far you're going to go. There is hell, and it's going to last forever. There is no turning around. You choose today who you serve. And at Eve in the garden, she chose who she served because she went into the process. She was deceived because she thought she could evaluate from her flesh. Look in the environment. Whatever stimulates pleasure, you approach. Look in the environment. Whatever produces pain, you avoid. And Jesus, the night before the cross, he was looking at the pain. And he could have avoided it. He could have done what the social sciences do, what the social engineers, what the leaders of the world do. He could have talked his disciples into taking that cross. And then, because you need the leader around, right? This is church growth stuff. You know, Jesus was the sufferer. Well, you know, it was for a social cause. If Jesus died on the cross for a social cause, he would have let his disciples die, got a little, you know, people guilty. Oh my, these were nice people and we killed them. And then he'd still be around making sure that they were getting the message. It's all convoluted, folks. They've turned it upside down. They've inverted it. They pervert the word of God. Why? Because you're evaluating it through your flesh, through human relationship. That person you meet that you like, the reason that you like them is because they're producing dopamine in you. Just like the toy. You keep the toy around. Why? Because of the pleasure it produces. Jesus went to the cross on pain. willing to reject all of that, all the dopamine, gone. No dopamine foundation whatsoever. And then he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, he didn't say that to the scribes and Pharisees, because those guys knew what they were doing. I'm going to tell you something. Anyone who's gone to seminary that knows the Lord, and they get into this process, they know what they're doing. They have fallen in love with the flesh, and they love the flesh rather than God. And they're evaluating through their flesh, their fleshy mind. That's all of psychology. Totality of psychology. If you're a Christian psychologist, you're a liar. You're not a Christian. You're not a believer. You cannot be a believer of the Word of God and be a psychiatrist, because psychiatry is built on the flesh. You don't find the Ten Commandments in a psychology class. You don't study those Ten Commandments and evaluate from those, because those would say you're wicked. Those would say, you know what? Your science, which has to be observable, repeatable, is foolishness. Because what Eve did was science. She observed that there was nothing wrong with the tree. She was absolutely right. Materialistically, dialectically, there was nothing wrong with a tree. What was wrong was the system she's using. She's evaluating through the flesh. Observable, repeatable. Would have repeated, and it has been repeated for every soul on the face of the earth. To evaluate what is going on around, determining what's good and evil based upon our flesh. That's the law of the flesh. So I got a little way today, but I just wanted to lay the foundation of the synthesis of the dialectic. It's finding what we have in common, what we have in common with God. Oh, he loves, but let me tell you something. God loves you when you're unlovable. And our love is what we can get out of it. You know, maybe we won't get anything out of this person, but the experience we can tell somebody later and they go, oh, wow, wasn't that wonderful? And you're getting some dopamine. God has nothing to gain from relating with you. He's love. Love not of the flesh, but spiritual love. And the church has chosen the spiritual love of dopamine and call it Christian love. And it's not. It's manipulated love. Well, today I want to start a whole new series on Irvin Yalom and this psychological process that Satan, if you want to study psychology, study Satan, Lucifer, Genesis 3, 1 through 6, is the foundation for psychology, sociology. Well, we're going to pick up on the other side of these messages. My name is Dean Gocher. I am founder and director of the Institution for Authority Research, and I encourage you to get on my website, authorityresearch.com, and do some research on this, because it's important that you know the enemy, you know his schemes. We're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices, and this is Satan's device. He has no other game plan. This is it, and it's foolish. But you see, the world has gone the broad path of foolishness. Don't go there with it. Trust in the Lord. We'll pick up right after these messages.